It is a great day to be alive in steamy Western PA and all over Stillers Nation. Welcome in to Kabali and Mac. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen. How Yins doing out there? Sweaty today? It's okay. Summer's here and we're still going. Gonna fill some of your time between that mandatory mini camp that just wrapped up and training camp on July 23rd by still talking about stuff. And there is Steelers stuff to talk about today, believe it or not. We'll get to that. You'd think they all just split up and spread out for the summer. Not so quick. Maybe some guys getting together in the next couple of weeks. We'll talk about that. Obviously, the NBA Finals wrapped up last night in an interesting way. Ugly if you're a Pacers fan. Andrew McCutchen is firing shots at baseball media, which we can get into. And speaking of shots being fired, SmackDown on Friday night amped up the whole John Cena CM Punk rivalry ahead of this Saturday night's Night of Champions. What are we calling it in Saudi this Saturday?
It's Night of Champions, right?
Is Night of Champions, but King of the Ring too?
It's in part of it. Well, yeah,
it's a big deal.
As of right now, though, Mac, right?
Yeah, as of right now, exactly. But probably the best promo Cena has cut since he came back semi-full-time on Friday night. We'll get into all of it. You know you want to be a part of the fun. And again, thanks to all of you that even though it's summertime and you're only here for Stillers content, are still checking in with us. We appreciate it. Added some more subscribers on the YouTube channel over the weekend. We're up over 1,800. When we get to 2,500, you know we're going to give away that autographed Paul Skeens baseball to one of our 2,500 YouTube subscribers. So you got time. Jump on it now. Whether you're checking in periodically or joining us every time we go live, we appreciate Yins. Be sure to follow us at Kabali and Mac on X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and again, obviously, YouTube. All presented by our good friends at the Dan Heck Team, heckteamhomes.com. Got another heckteamhomes.com shirt on today, and we appreciate them supporting the show. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. They are the people to help you get it done. Dan, Michelle, Jeremy, Corey, John, Keith, Heather, Mike, Tia. It's summertime. You might be taking a break from work in some instances. Maybe you're one of those lucky people that gets the summer off. Yeah, I'm looking at you teachers. But they are staying busy at the Dan Heck Team, looking to help you get into the home of your dreams. Kaboom, how was your weekend?
Weekend. Let me think here. I can't.
What'd you do? Good job by you.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? You've really added to the technical setup. Is that what your weekend was all about?
No, this was actually about 7:30 this morning. I added this
beautiful microphone.
Oh, you sound good when you get up on top of it like that. That sounded dirty. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm going to have to get more fancy things like you. But I'm trying to think here. What did I do Friday? I went to MacBids, picked up my...
What'd you get?
Some kind of garage cabinet. Weighed 170 pounds. It was unbelievable.
You strap it to the top of the old Altima?
No, I put it in the back of the old Rogue. Barely fit. Oh, then the kid had a 10U baseball game.
Oh, that's right. He was supposed to play up this weekend. How'd it go?
He played up. First pitch was...
crank one?
No, it was about 13 feet outside, and they called it a strike.
Ooh, you know it's going to be a good weekend when the umps are doing that.
Yeah, he struck out like every time. But he wasn't afraid. Kids are 2-3 years older than him. He was standing in there taking his hacks. He just didn't hit the ball, but can't complain. He's
good for Kaboom Jr.
And these were 10-year-old big kids from Manesson. So Saturday, what was what? Oh, Saturday was a little bit of graduation party for the cousin and
nice.
Something else. Oh, the kid had to have a birthday party. He had to stay over. He had a sleepover.
Ooh.
And yesterday was
hot as hell.
I don't remember what I did yesterday.
Hot as hell. That's why you don't remember
it. The Aldi. You were ignoring me all weekend, so you must have been really cooking.
I was in the Burb of the Berg. Well, actually, I was in Weirton on Friday and Sunday, Steubenville on Saturday, Rumble on the River softball tournament. Gave the girls a little bit of a pump-up speech, you know?
You did?
Pumped their tires before the first game. They came out, won the first game. Yeah, I asked the coaches. I was like, hey, These girls are down on themselves. They need a little
goodness
pumping of the tires. And they, I think they actually, aside from my daughter, who, you know, gives me grief, I think they liked it because they went out. They played great in the first game. Same thing yesterday. Played great in the first game. A couple mistakes on Saturday. A couple mistakes in the second game yesterday. It happens. They went 2-4 on the weekend. But they were positive the whole time, even in that 95-degree heat yesterday.
Okay, first things first. We're, like, burying the lead here.
Yeah.
Give us your speech. Let's hear it.
It was mostly...
Come on, girls, get together here.
Yeah, I said, hey, you know, I'm not one of your coaches. I'm just, you know, just Ava's dad here. I'm just the guy that plays the music.
She loved that.
Yeah, I'm just the guy that plays the music in between innings, right, to keep you guys hyped up. But listen, you guys got to be positive. You got to stop worrying about what if something bad happens.
There's more energy here.
Yeah. There was. Start focusing on all the good things you can do. You can each do something good. Go out and focus on making the next play, making a big play for your teammates and for yourself. And you only got like 15 games guaranteed left this summer, 3 tournaments. Go out there, make the most of it so you don't walk away this summer with any regrets. And they liked it.
Now, let me ask you a question. Well. My second question, we can move on. Who's the center fielder?
There's a couple different center fielders. You know, you got Maddie. Okay. You got Annie out there sometimes.
You mentioned her first. Did somebody hit a ground ball to her in center field and it got through her and she just stopped and watched the ball? And,
no, she did not pull an O'Neill Cruz.
Oh, okay. So it must have worked then.
Yeah, they played a little harder than O'Neill Cruz, which is like the bare minimum, I think. Playing just slightly above O'Neill Cruz level. That is the worst thing I've ever seen, by the way.
You know what? I would have said, Donnie Kelly, take up one step. I would run.
You. Go take a shower. Words. If you don't want to play, go take a shower. That was, for those that haven't seen it yet, if you've checked out on the Buccos for whatever reason, just go search O'Neill Cruz, and it'll be one of the first video results that comes up from this weekend. That's ground ball gets past him in center field, rolls to the warning track, and he just stands there and watches it. Well, who was in right field? Was it Reynolds? Whoever it was.
Frazier was in left, I think.
Somebody comes running it over from right field and picks it up and finally gets it in. But it was like something you would see in an 8U Little League game.
Oh, no, the 8U kids would run after it, but then just fall on the ground and roll around them. So it wasn't much different. I mean, it was not the first time he has did something that was a lack of effort.
No.
You can't even go there. You can't even say, well, this is the only time it's happened. No, it hasn't. You got to set an example, Donnie. Worst comes to worst, bring him in, then sit him. Worst comes to worst, sit him the next day. You got to do something.
The shame of it is they have no offense in this lineup. I know they scored 8 runs yesterday. That's great. They salvaged a game in the series against the Rangers. They have no offense on this team. So you can't take the guy who has the most lightning in his bat out of the lineup because – you're already struggling to score runs. You take Cruz out of the lineup, you're hamstringing your entire lineup. So I get why he doesn't immediately do something like that. But to your point, you have to make an example somehow. I do get it. And look, it's not like you're going to the playoffs this year. It's not like you're, you know. So if there's ever a time to make an example, it would be at the beginning of a weekend series at home when he dogs a ground ball that gets past them and you sit him on Saturday maybe and say, yeah, that's not going
to
happen.
Yeah, but, you know, to your point about how he's a big bat in their lineup, if you see what he's done the past month.
Yeah, it's been a little.
So you're not missing very much.
Okay.
At that point. I mean, if you're Donnie Kelly, right, you got 3 months guaranteed, whatever's left of the season.
Yep.
After that, it can go any way. You got to make it known that I'm the boss. I'm not accepting this. Because what the Pirates do now is – horrible fundamentals, terrible base running, and lack of effort. That's stuff that, you know, any kid can do. Right?
I always wonder, though, like, how much can you affect that stuff at the major league level when you're a manager? If a guy's going to dog it, he's going to dog it. You sit him for a day. Is it going to have an impact? You know what I mean?
Well,
like, the fundamentals that people complain about, the base running errors, all that kind of stuff. You get to the major leagues, if you can't do that stuff, guess what? I don't know how much a manager is going to be able to fix it.
But this is a very young team for the most part. They got some younger guys coming up. If I'm doing that to O'Neill Cruz, he might do that to me. So I better not be, you know, dogging it out there.
They're in Milwaukee.
Even more, do it for the fans.
Yeah, they're in Milwaukee tonight in the next couple of days. The Brewers own the Pirates. Christian Yelich is on fire the last couple of weeks, so we'll see how that goes. Enough Bucco talk. I don't want to be sad today. It's a Monday, and it's beautiful out, even if it's super hot, so let's be happy. Let's think about not having to cut your lawn, not having to water it in this crazy heat, not having to spray the chemicals on it to keep the weeds away, actually being able to enjoy your lawn and not hate it. Southwest Greens PA, the people to get a hold of, southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake the Cabali and Max sent you. They'll come out and tell you exactly what they can do with a beautiful artificial surface that you don't have to maintain. You ain't got to be out there with the weed whacker, cutting the grass when it's 95 out. None of that nonsense. You just get to enjoy your lawn. It's the best looking lawn in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance. southwestgreenspa.com. We appreciate them supporting the show, the program, as I should say. All right. Last night, it was game 7. You oddly predicted this might happen on Friday when we were talking about game 6 and a game 7 coming up on Sunday night between the Pacers and the Thunder.
Kicks it out. Toppin. Good contest from Thorpe. Halliburton falls down. He looks hurt. Here comes SGA the other way. Inside, and Williams throws it down. Halliburton's hurt right away when he fell. Of course, that strained calf. He's in pain, so emotional.
Just watch the replay. Ugh.
It's the right calf right away. He knew he was in trouble.
Watch that.
Oh, you get a situation like this, you're just sick to your stomach for the young man. We'll take a timeout.
That's no good. That's Mike Breen on the call on ABC ESPN last night. 103-91 the final. The Thunder hold off the Pacers. They took control in the third quarter. Pacers fought back in the second quarter, actually went to the half with a one-point lead. Credit to our boy TJ McConnell, who I thought had a really good night given the Thunder interior defense. You know, he was slashing to the hoop trying to make things happen, finished with 16 points, but when your guy goes down like that halfway through the first quarter, you're going to be battling the rest of the way. And they did. They battled, but the Thunder are just too good.
Yeah. Plus, what do you have, 7 points at the time? Nine. So, I mean, that's hard. It's hard to come back from that. But they were still in it up until, early fourth?
Yeah.
It all got away from them. But what a terrible situation. And, you know, with Halliburton, I mean – I would assume that he was informed of the risk that was involved here, but there are probably not too many people that would have sat out, you know?
No, it's game 7 of the NBA Finals. Yeah. You're going.
I mean, hindsight's now 20/20. He probably would still say, I'd go out there and play.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, you can do MRIs. You can do different tests on that thing. You know what it is. And let me tell you, that for those people that don't, never had an Achilles tear, that pop, pop, pop you saw, the pop, pop, pop. It might not sound, I can never tell if it was a sound, but the feeling felt like that sound. So I don't know if there's really a sound there or you're just feel it, and it's what you think it is. It's just an awful, awful feeling. And now that, you know, his whole 2025, 2026 season's in jeopardy right now.
Yeah.
He wouldn't change it. But I just had a bad feeling. I mean, bring it back to football, probably why Russell Wilson didn't play for 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it was.
That calf strain, they didn't want it to turn into an Achilles. I mean,
the calf strain, you could tell where there's tendonitis. You can tell if it's, you know, small tears. You know what that's like. And I guarantee he knew the risk involved. And it's just a shame that he couldn't. Because if he gets past three quarters in that game, then he can heal over to summer, and there you go, you know.
But. Yeah. Credit to the Pacers, the team that a lot of people left for dead back around Thanksgiving and Christmas because they got off to a terrible start, fighting back. Second-best team in the NBA over the second half of the season to only the Thunder, who were dominant throughout. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander was dominant throughout the year. First guy since Shaq, I think, in 2000, 2001 to win the scoring title and win NBA Finals MVP, I think is what it is. Also won regular season MVP. Dude was dominant. He had really strong players around him. Jalen Williams is the star in the making. Chet Holmgren, I think, had 5 or 6 blocks last night. So, the Thunder were the better team. The Pacers' magic finally ran out. Congratulations to OKC. They built that thing up in like 5 years, basically, to become the juggernaut that it is. The only thing I can't stand is the day after any championship is won, the first question you get, maybe not the first question, like the second or third question you get on the national shows, is this a dynasty in the making? They just won the title last night. Can you pump the brakes? Like, seriously, pump the brakes. Let's for their fans and their team's sake, just enjoy what they did this year. Just start talking about a dynasty already. They won one title.
But they're very, very young. That's why.
True.
You know, right. They're very talented. You know, I honestly say that I've said this in the past. You look what they did with the Durant Harden and all that stuff. What was it, 8, 9 years ago? The way the Pirates are, you know, that's how you, if you're a small market team, that's how you turn things around. People that don't want to trade Skeens, this is one of the reasons why you would maybe consider that. It may have taken them a decade, but they've got something right here. I don't know if that really applies in baseball as well.
But I don't think it applies to the Pirates just because you don't have Durant, Harden, and all the other pieces that they shipped off. You have Skeens. And I don't want to say that's it, but you got Skeens and then the guy we just got done dogging, O'Neal Cruz, down the ladder a good ways. And those are really the only possible stars. Skeens already a star. The only stars you have on your roster going forward. I don't know what you're getting for O'Neal Cruz, for example, if you decide to move on from him right now. And the rest of the roster, Reynolds is 30 already. You know, Kutch, who we'll get to in a second, is at the end of the road. You're not getting anything for these names that are recognizable around the best.
You know, another thing is if they want to move on from a guy like Ebron Hayes in the offseason, or not in the offseason, during the trade deadline, not too many contending teams are looking to get. Boy, I would love to have that great third baseman to put in there in the eighth inning. You know, they want
idea, right? They may like the idea of having that player available, but they're not dealing a lot for it.
Yeah, what I'm saying is, you would like the guy batting more than 170 and has two home runs.
Exactly.
You know, what are they going to get you? Okay, he can field great, unless I would say. Maybe if you're a team that has a power hitting second baseman, shortstop, and A-Rod, remember Robbie Thompson back in the day, maybe you can deal with.
I did not have a Robbie Thompson reference on the bingo card for this morning.
Maybe you can deal with a third baseman that can't hit for power, but that's a power position, man.
If you're not necessarily happy with your DH and their production, or your DH is a guy who shouldn't be batting every day, you can move. If you've got a solid hitting third baseman, you can move them to the DH role. You can put Hayes at third. Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. When filling out a championship roster, Brian Hayes can be,
defensive replacement, right?
Right, a periphery piece. He's on the edge of that core. He's not in the middle of the core like the Pirates have tried to make him over the last 5 years. So,
good player, but you know,
good player in the field, but not the kind of bat.
I was probably trying to think of Jeff Kenton. I'm so old, I thought of Robbie Thompson.
I think that's what you did, yeah.
But Robbie Thompson fits the bit, Bill.
Not as much as Jeff Kent, but I do get where you're going with it. The Pacers eliminated by the Thunder. You saw TJ really emotional after the game. We'll see if we can get a hold of TJ here in the next week or two. And maybe, you know, when he's ready to talk about things. Cause he was, you know, they don't survive without a guy. You talk about, I wouldn't call TJ a periphery piece, but that really important sixth man, that guy that can come off the bench. And we talked about it the other day when he and Halliburton were on the floor together in this series, they were, I don't want to say dominant, but they were taking it to the Thunder. And because their perimeter defense wasn't nearly as good as their interior defense. So credit to TJ, Tyrese Halliburton, Rick Carlisle, the whole Pacers squad. They fought hard. They just ran up against a better squad. As for the Buccos, who, once again, I said we shouldn't talk too much about today, but this is just too good when you get somebody absolutely flaming someone else on social media. It started with this about 9 days ago, I think it was. Andrew McCutchen retweeted something. It was a Juan Soto. I mean, Juan Soto smashes this baseball off the bat for the Mets, and it gets caught at the warning track, right at the wall. And so Kutch tweets out something very specific. He was told by an MLB rep that the baseballs are different this year, higher seams, and every ball is hand-sewn. You can see the tweet on the screen there. But he said he was told by someone at MLB there was nothing that could be done about it this season, but they're working hard on getting to the bottom of why the seams are higher. So he puts this out there, like I said, about 8-9 days ago. And David Sampson, who is a former MLB exec and has his own show, said this.
Define this deep throat within baseball, because I would like to be the one to tell Andrew McCutchen that your source stinks. And I'm not one. Really, I hear from people in baseball quite a bit. They don't exactly view me as their go-to friend of the court. But I can assure you in this case, whoever Andrew McCutchen is speaking to, that person doesn't know squat about squat.
They don't know squat about squat. That's from Nothing Personal with David Sampson. He said that just over the weekend. And Andrew, not that he has rabbit ears on social media, but, you know, he does. We'll be honest about it. He saw this or heard about it and said, you know what, David?
Somebody sent it to him.
Probably. We know how that happens. And so Andrew had a response. And he said, my source stinks, David? What a laughable thing to say when my source is the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And I got 27 witnesses to back that up. So stick to your little channel and do this. And he adds the Rock gif. Know your role and shut your mouth.
He should have used the other gif or where he says, and who are you? It doesn't matter what your name is. I know. My first impression was, I'm just those two talking, I'm believing McCutchen. I don't know. Just my initial instinct.
I mean, I don't understand why something as simple as the actual thing that is the piece of equipment that's the center of your game can't be consistent from year to year. And why Major League Baseball, if in fact they told them to manufacture the baseballs differently, we don't know if that happened or not, but why would you want to bring home runs down? People go to the ballpark to see action, to see runs scored. And we can be old men and shake our fist at the sky and complain about all they do is try to hit home runs now. But that's what kids love. That's what people want to see. They want to see offense, like it or not. Dig,
right? Is that what they tell us?
What's that?
It's what the chicks dig.
Yeah, chicks dig the long ball. They've been saying that for 25 years. Trouble,
Mac, what did they do? Sosa, McGuire. What, PEDs? What are you talking about?
Well, no, I don't know.
Oh, baseball's back. Okay.
Juice the players, juice the ball, and people will show up. It's a proven fact. Like you said, they did it after the strike in 94 in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it worked. You got the McGuire home run chase. You got Bonds. And the fact, I'm not saying you got to go that far. Like, you don't have to juice the baseball. Just let it be what it was last year when you got, you know, the Aaron Judge home run chase, whether you like the Yankees or not. People were keeping an eye on that. And the fact that they would go out of their way, again, I don't know the Major League Baseball did this. I'm not saying they did. But the fact that they wouldn't try to have a piece, imagine if every single foot, if the football was different every year from year to year. And all of a sudden, quarterbacks couldn't throw it as far. Or all of a sudden, kickers couldn't make 50-yard field goals because they changed the football. I mean, it doesn't happen. The basketball doesn't change a great deal from year to year. You sometimes see guys complain about it when they bring a new one in. The hockey puck is basically the same piece of frozen rubber that it's always been. Stop messing with the baseball.
Yeah. I mean, the hand-sewn thing is crazy to me. I mean, this is 2025.
Right.
I'm sure there's some sort of a machine that can do it more consistently than some person in wherever they're made from. If they're in Louisville, I don't know where baseballs are made, but you would think it would be more consistent. You think they could test them too. You think they know that. So my belief is they do. I mean, obviously they know. They're not going to just do them different because somebody else is hand sewing it. There's more than one person hand sewing it. So right. There's some specs to this, right?
Exactly. They're wow. being told how to hand sew the baseball.
They're like, yes. And then they're probably testing.
Right. So if you get the first batch back in February or whenever they make the baseballs, you test them and you go, oh, wait, these seams are higher. There's more drag on the ball. We're going to cut home runs by like 10, 15% if we do this. What are we thinking? No. Tighten these things up. Drop the seams a little bit. Give us the baseballs we had last year. It shouldn't be a hard thing to do. Like you said, it's 2025. Yeah. Can we have some sort of standard for the... Again, this doesn't happen at the same rate, at least, in any other major professional league in the world, except baseball, where you got to worry about whether the ball's different every year or not.
Or this one where it's deflated, right?
That's a Brady ball right there. Get a good grip on it in the cold when it's raining.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand. But then you have McCutchen saying, this is my source. It's the commissioner who probably knows all about it
right.
to make the seams bigger. They're not just going to go behind his back. So which one's lying now? What I'm saying is Manfred lying to McCutchen, or is he lying to everybody else? You know, I don't know. Maybe he's saying, okay, we want these scenes raised. No, Kutch, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing. He's probably going in and telling the players, yeah, we've noticed the baseballs are a little different this year. And, you know, he's got a bit of plausible deniability because he's not the guy in the factory in Costa Rica or wherever they're making the baseballs, hand sewing them. And then he goes to the media and says, I don't know. The same level of plausible deniability. I don't know. I don't sew the baseballs. You know, they're a little different this year. We'll investigate it and see what we can change for next year. No, just change it. You shouldn't have changed it in the first place is actually the issue here at hand.
The first thing is, how the hell did you know they were made in Costa Rica?
That's a guess.
It was 100% true, Raleigh.
Oh, is it? Did you Google it?
I just Googled it.
I think I read a story about it a couple years ago.
The Rawlings in Costa Rica.
So I remember reading a story about this a couple years ago when we had something similar. Maybe it was last year. I don't know. It doesn't matter when I read it. But this is the thing. Every year or two, we got to talk about how the baseballs are made. And I remember reading a story that, yeah, they I was pretty close on that one. I nailed it, actually. Costa Rica is where they make the baseballs.
You wouldn't know that unless I brought it up.
No, I would not. Thanks to our good friends at Impact HVAC for supporting the show as well. We appreciate them. I mentioned, especially if you're in the Pittsburgh area, it's hot out there. Hot. I'll tell you, I was in Arizona a couple weeks ago. Yeah, two weeks ago, Kaboom. Right. It felt hotter yesterday in Weirton, West Virginia, when it was 90 and humid, than it did 110 and no humidity at all in Arizona 2 weeks ago. It's brutal. You need your AC to work. Call 412-297-1852 or check them out on Facebook, Impact HVAC PGH. If the AC isn't working, they'll come out and give it a look, tune it up, fix it, get you all set for the rest of the summer because it's going to be a hot one, at least for the next
guys week. Over Impact are probably busy.
Oh, I bet. A week like this one, yeah, they're going to be all over the place. So give them a call. Have them take care of your AC if it's been a total disaster so far for you in the heat. All right, we're 1 week from the combined Raw SmackDown show at PPG Paints Arena. A week from tonight, right? They'll do some SmackDown matches and, you know, put that together for the July 4th SmackDown. And then Raw, which will be fresh off of a trip to Saudi, which brings up the John Cena, CM Punk back and forth that we've had over the last few weeks, right? We had the famous CM Punk tweet of like 10 years ago referenced when he told Miz to go to Saudi Arabia and do something to a blood-soaked thing. Yeah, I'm not going to read it word for word. You could go find it yourself, kids. But John Cena went out on Friday night and almost word for word, kaboom, cut the CM Punk pipe bomb promo from 2011 on CM Punk.
How do you remember that?
How do I remember it?
Not you, him.
Oh, see.
I mean, it was almost boom, 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 boom.
I mean, it was word for word at the very beginning. And they didn't plan this. I think Triple H basically admitted that R-Truth was forced back into their hands. But the fact that both moments involve R-Truth in a way, and Cena does go word for word on Punk, this is the kind of stuff I'm here for. We have finally turned the corner, it feels like, on the John Cena farewell tour. You've got to bring some reality into it. And that's what I think this did. This is why people were chanting for Cena Friday night in Grand Rapids, because there's nothing a wrestling fan loves more than, well, second most, they love a callback to something that happened, whether it was a couple years ago or a decade ago or whatever it is. They love that callback because it pays off their commitment as a fan, right? I've been a fan forever. I remember the Punk pipe bomb promo, and now Cena's doing the same thing right back to him 14 years later. But they also love when reality seeps in. And when Cena starts dropping names of guys that used to be in the WWE, Nick Nemeth, Matt Cardona, he's dropping their names, breaking the fourth wall a little bit. Fans absolutely love that. And I'm one of them. I think you add that in, it turns the energy on the whole thing from a solid 7 or 8 up to 10, or turn this one here up to 11, like Spinal Tap. And it gives the fans it that much more emotional investment in the storyline. They finally, you know, 6 months later, turned the corner on the John Cena farewell tour to where, you know, yeah, you're still getting when he walks out the Cena sucks chance, but you've got some people rooting for the heel now, yeah, and that's the best possible atmosphere.
You think so? Is that what they want? You got to be careful here if you want a guy coming in to ruin. His whole gimmick was to ruin wrestling, then all of a sudden those jeers start turning into cheers, right? I mean, I don't know if you can anticipate that by this promo. I mean, you go out there and like, okay, cut to, I don't even know. You think this was a promo that was, I would imagine that it was run through it up and down the flagpole, right?
Absolutely.
So everybody knew what was going on. So if it was part of the gimmick, part of the storyline, then they must assume that this is going to give them more of that face good guy look on Cena when he was such the bad guy.
I don't know if it necessarily pulls everybody back into Cena's corner. I think what you got people chanting for on Friday night is, like I said, the way it was pulled off. I think that's what it was. Like I said, fans love to see some level of reality seep into their storyline. And you got that on Friday night with Cena going almost word for word on Punk's pipe bomb. And then, you know, breaking the fourth wall as it is and addressing the camera at a couple points and bringing up names of guys that aren't in the company anymore. That's what I think people eat that up. Again, myself included, I eat that stuff up because it's a callback really to why. And for those of us that came up watching the Attitude Era, the reason it was so successful was because Kevin Nash and Scott Hall realized, whether it was under the direction of Eric Bischoff or they just knew how to do it themselves, how to bring that certain level of reality. And then DX kind of followed that lead too in WWE at the time. Bring that level of reality in so that you as a fan are left to sit there and wonder, how real is this? How much is storyline? I don't care. It's just good. I'm buying in. And so that's what I think they were chanting for. That's how they infused some new energy and some new life into this Cena run. And I don't think we get John Cena walking out as a conquering hero in Boston in December. He's got to lean in on the heel portion of this over the next 6 months. And the crowd does love Punk, but they couldn't help themselves on Friday night. They were cheering for the moment.
Yeah. No, I'm just wondering if it's one of those swerve things just to get you off their scent and really
even better if it is
back. I don't know. I mean, it could be. Imagine being, you know, Cesaro or one of those guys. And what? My name
Dolph
is
Ziggler.
Yeah. Ziggler? You're like, what? That's crazy. You know, Pittsburgh everywhere. The photographer that he mentioned first, I forget his name. He's a Pittsburgh guy.
Oh, that's right. Pittsburgh, everywhere, always. Everywhere.
But it's an interesting see where they move forward. But I don't think I will not anticipate Cena being in Pittsburgh next Monday.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for
I don't think he's being advertised as, and I think coming straight from Saudi Arabia.
I would imagine most of the people that are in Saudi on Saturday night get to go straight home after that. And
I mean, probably it's a 1 p.m. Eastern time start, right?
Right.
So you get out of there, you take your private jet or whatever, you get back here on
right. You're home Sunday morning.
Then you do a little works Monday, then you get a week off. Maybe. I wouldn't anticipate that, though.
But there will be things that happen Saturday night that they have to build off of on Monday night. So
should be a good Raw tonight. I mean, you assume that Gunther's going to be back, right, with Goldberg. They got to advance that storyline somehow.
Somehow.
There's other things as well. I mean, you got the two King of the Ring match with Cody and Jay. And who's the other one tonight? I forget. Gargoyle? Is it the women's?
Because
Oscar beat Alexa Bliss. I know that. I can't remember now. Who's the other one?
Oh, Becky Lynch against Bayley.
Becky Lynch Bayley tonight?
Yeah.
So we're going to get some interference there from Lyra Valkyrie. Did I say it right?
That was pretty good. Yeah. Not bad by you. So we'll see how that goes tonight. Like, Yinzer Joe is a big fan of the way Goldberg came back last week. Really? I know we ran it down a little bit.
I got big time coming up here, right? So you might have to.
Oh, yeah. You got to get your banana ball tickets, don't you?
Well, I'm just going to forward the email to the wife so she can do it. I did everything else. I'm on the final stage here. Let's see if we can be able to get some banana ball tickets.
When are they in town?
On the 29th and 30th, a Friday and a Saturday.
August, right?
I can give a crap less, but the kids love the banana ball.
They'll love it. Absolutely love it. So you won the lottery to get into the lottery.
I won. Right? I joined to get into the lottery, made it right. That one. Then won another lottery to get into the lottery now. Then they're supposed to send you a link now where you might be able to get tickets if they're not sold out by the time your time frame gets here.
That's a lot.
And I haven't gotten anything yet. I'm supposed to get a doggone email at 11:30 that says,
oh man,
this link. That's what I'm saying. Woo-hoo-hoo.
I mean,
banana ball.
It's 11:30 and 50 seconds right now. You better get that email soon.
I'm even looking in the junk. Let's look in the junk.
Check the junk. Check the spam.
Cheech
all
and
that.
Chong. What in the world is that? Cheech and Chong.
What do you have in your junk mail? I'd love to know what Martin Bali has.
It's from Cheech and Chong. Reach a higher state of chill.
There you go.
Cosmic shoes. What in the world?
Buy some gummies online.
Come on, banana ball. You said 11:30. You can go on. I'm just going to
forward whenever I see you. Can you focus on two things at once here? I know that's difficult
to ask. I can't even focus on one thing at once.
Fair point. There is Steelers stuff to talk about. They have scattered for the summer. Everybody back home or to a beach somewhere, like we talked about on Friday, getting ready for training camp, which starts a month from today exactly is the report date, July 23rd. But there may be some work going on with some guys together out in Southern California. You would imagine Rodgers will try to gather some of the guys, Aaron, out there in Malibu, do some workouts. And I guess there was a chance that Arthur Smith, some people are reporting, would be headed out to California to meet with Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if that'll happen now. Arthur's father, the founder of FedEx, Fred Smith, passed away over the weekend at the age of 80. So if Arthur was planning on heading out to California this week, certainly not going to happen. Again, there's nothing that says Arthur Smith can't travel to California to talk to Aaron Rodgers, right?
I just don't think he's allowed to be present in a
workout,
organized event like that.
He right.
can't be saying, whatever, you know, do this, do that. I'm sure that.
But he can't be standing there with a play call sheet telling them what to do.
No, they got their 5-6 weeks off where, you know, you can obviously have contact with people because
right.
you're human, but you're not allowed to run a practice, so to speak. I guess it's, I mean, if you can run into, who was it? Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady and who was it? Matthew Stafford. Who ran into each other?
Oh, Brady and Stafford up in.
Wasn't it Stafford in L.A. or something?
No, with, it was
Tom up in McVay in Florida or something?
No, it was in Montana. Remember, Stafford was on vacation and Brady just so happened to be there at the same time and they just bumped into each other.
I mm-hmm. thought there was one in Florida that Sean McVay just happened to run into Matthew Stafford, then he traded for him.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah, there's a lot of that stuff that happens. They just so happen to bump into each other. Their travel agents don't talk to each other.
I'm starting to get worried about this.
Still no email from Banana Ball.
No banana
Savannah
ball.
Bananas.
And nothing. Banana Ball screwing me.
Damn, man. So, yeah, they'll get together. They'll work a little bit, I would imagine, and July 23rd, 1 month from today, Kaboom, they report. You excited to spend 3 weeks up in Latrobe?
Absolutely. Absolutely excited is not even a word.
Wings for dinner every night at a different spot.
The guy, Steve Braban from the WWE, he's like, boss, what I do? And he's a big Goldberg fan. He goes... Because he went to the Javits Center this week to do stuff for the Fanatics thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, man, you got a good job. Because then he wrote back, Latrobe's greater than Javits Center. I said, yeah, imagine being at Javits Center for 3 straight weeks in the 90-degree heat every single day. Then that would be very similar to Latrobe.
Latrobe still beats Newark, I think. Or is that where the Javits Center is, or is it in...
Oh, Yinz or Joe, I've been to like 25 training camps. It's not fun. I mean, I'll sit there and watch it, but just sitting around and waiting and, you know, heat.
You'll be okay.
Uh-oh, banana ball.
Did you get your email? Let's all watch Kabali try to get his banana ball tickets live on stream right now. He's focused on the email. He's scrolling through it, looking for the link. That's all he wants.
I have to send it to the wife now because she'll do it.
Okay.
Wait, let me read it to you, though.
Yeah. What's it say?
You're seeing Banana Ball. You got your hands on something truly special. Blah, 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 blah. Now you're ready to prepare yourself for the great. Come on.
Click Cut here. To the chase. Give Kaboom what he wants.
I don't know. Maybe I got him already.
You don't even know if you have the tickets or not. This is scintillating.
Apparently I got them, but I don't know how many I got.
Did you put a credit card number in?
You had to make a pre-account.
Okay. So you may have tickets, but you're not sure.
Uh-oh, she said got them. Woo-hoo, I'm going to Banana Ball.
Look at this. 29th. Are you going to get a Savannah Bananas jersey?
Texas Tailgaters are playing.
Maybe a hat.
I don't know how much you suckers cost.
It's too late. You already paid for them.
Well, I got banana ball.
All right. Good for you.
Okay. Maybe I should sell them on eBay or something. eBay. They still do eBay?
Take your damn kids to the thing and let them have a good time.
Yeah, my daughter would just be on the phone the whole time.
Your son will love it.
I would. Anybody want banana ball tickets? $200 each.
Nah. What are you doing? You just fought for the last month to try and get these things.
I just saw the PlayStation 2, not PlayStation 2. What's that called? Switch 2.
Okay.
They just put some out last week, and they were charging $500. I was thinking about buying two of them, then selling them for double amount on eBay.
But go for it.
I didn't do that.
No? No side hustle from you?
I ain't paying $1,000. How about if I get, you know, can't sell them. I don't want that crap.
Okay. So no eBay for you?
No, I don't think they do eBay. I do MacBids, though.
What else are you looking at on MacBid, huh?
I've got something else. The problem was it was some kind of hose, wind-up hose thing, right?
Okay.
And I want it, and I'm like, cool, I'm going to be up there today.
Yeah.
They don't open till noon.
Okay.
So I was already back home.
I'm not trying to back up there. Can't leave the house more than once.
I'm not going all the way back up there. So
where do you go? Robinson?
Yeah, because I went to Robinson because it's close to the station, right?
Yeah, you go on Friday. Well, pick it up then.
No, but the deadline's Wednesday. You have to pick it up by Wednesday. So
you're going to have to leave the house. What are you going to do?
They put it back in stock.
No, I'm saying you got to go get it.
I know. It stinks. Stinks. Yeah, I got banana ball tickets.
I'm happy for you. I'm happy for Kaboom Jr. more than anybody else because I know how much fun he's going to have at that thing. Real quick before we wrap up, this is just a random comment I saw on YouTube. I don't know where it's coming from, but Robert wants to know, in all caps, do the Steelers want a new stadium?
They're going to upgrade that one.
How?
Well,
who's going to pay for it? I think that's the question a lot of people have.
I think we know that. Whatever that is. What's that committee they have?
I don't know. The RAD, the Regional Asset District or whatever.
No, the commission, whatever the hell that's called.
County commissioners?
Whatever, not the county commissioners, the stadium authority or whatever the hell that's
called. Oh, Sports and Exhibition Authority.
Yeah, that's what I ended up paying for. But I was told, or I don't know when this is going to happen, but it's going to happen very soon. You remember that nice, beautiful press box?
Yeah. Gone.
It's going. That's some prime time real estate for some private boxes, my friends.
Yep.
So I think they're going to relocate that. Like I said, I'm not quite sure if it's here this year or next year, but they're going to relocate that somewhere in the probably high and far away.
Yeah, they'll put you guys up in the nosebleeds.
That's what they did in Baltimore. In Baltimore, they did it so half-ass, it was embarrassing. So I hope they do it better than that. Let's hope so.
So here's what's interesting to me. And this is just, I'm not good at the local politics stuff because I don't really care about it except when it affects my teams. But this Sports and Exhibition Authority, right? They're the ones that come up with the money or contractually have to come up with some of the money for when, you know, any public venue gets improved, right? So Heinz Field, I'll never call it Acrisure Stadium. PNC Park might need some more upgrades in, say, the next 5 years or so, because
maybe a wall with bricks on it or something somewhere.
Maybe some new Surfside signs. I don't know. But it's going to be interesting to me if the Roonies and the Steelers get their hands on that money first. I don't know how much there is, how limited it is, how the process works. Again, I'm more focused on country music than local politics. I can't do local politics. It'll be interesting to see if the Steelers and the Roonies get that money, then what do the Pirates and Bob Nutting expect in a couple years when maybe they want to make some more upgrades, and do they get it? Like, does the public have a say in that?
I don't think they do. I mean, if anything with politics, they normally don't.
True.
I don't know that too. We should have John Staggerwald on. He knows all that stuff, right?
Give me some nachos up here.
But honestly, I don't know who pays for that. I don't know who's responsible for that.
Well, because I know people that have a wild theory, and it's just that, a wild theory, that Pirates ownership wouldn't mind tanking out for the next few years in order. It's a very Major League, the movie style premise, yeah, that they wouldn't mind tanking out for the next few years. People don't come as much. And then they've got an argument in 5 years when the lease is up on PNC Park to make some kind of move, or more likely strong arm local government into giving them more money. I don't necessarily ride with that theory. I think there's some interesting points that you can make to try and back it up. I think Bob just wants to make more cash and he doesn't care how he makes it. So I don't necessarily buy into that. Bob Nutting would love things to tank for the next 5 years. So
you see what the Rays are getting, potentially getting sold for.
How much?
$1.7 billion.
And that's without a ballpark. So,
hey, Bob, if you're watching the show, first of all, if you want to advertise, reach out.
Yes.
Sponsor, we'll talk nicely of you. Not really, but number two is, if you're watching, you might be able to get $2 billion for that Buccos team now with that ballpark. So maybe you should look into selling.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad time.
Well, the Lakers, I mean, what did they just pay? $10 billion? That's not even for 100% of the team. That's just a majority of it, right? Well,
difference between the Lakers and the Buccos.
Well, $10 million gets half the team. $2 million gets you the whole team.
But yeah, I'm curious to see how that all works. So you think if there's any kind of changes, the Steelers will make them at Heinz Field in the next
three years. They're not making a new field. They got other issues. And I'd like to say 3400 South Water Street.
Yeah, practice facility.
That needs to be something happened. I don't think Pitt wants him to move because that's a nice recruiting tool, which is strange.
Yeah, but then Pitt could have the whole building to
themselves. I know, but I say it too. But there's something to watching Steelers OTAs and Pitt's on the other field and Mike Tomlin comes up to you and goes, which one is that Pitt linebacker? I heard he's pretty good. And there's something to that, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Of these guys are thinking, oh, but that was old school now. Now it's like, hey, how much money you pay me to come to Pitt, right? Isn't NIL change that?
That's the same thing at every school.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't.
It's Mike Tomlin saying hello and watching Aaron Rodgers throws can go only so far as how much you're paying me to come here.
Exactly. And the Steelers need space. And we've been over this.
I don't
know what
to do. You have to find land. You have to find sponsors. You got to find money to.
Who's not lining up to hand the Steelers money to be involved somehow?
That's a lot of money, though. It's not going to be UPMC, right?
No.
AGH, I don't know. It's going to have to be something like that, right?
They can figure it. There are more than enough people that would be willing, that have the money and would be willing to line up to sponsor the whatever Steelers practice facility in Cranberry or wherever it may end up being.
Maybe this podcast can host, you know, sponsor.
We can't even sponsor a bowling league, man.
Yes, we have. But you know what? We're still on in June, and there has not been one snap of football played yet.
Not one snap. That's an important point. Listen to the man. He's a prophet. He called the Halliburton injury. He called the Goldberg return. What else have you called him?
I'm going to call something else, too, here. We're talking about wrestling. I think Cena. Is that an ant on my floor? Not a fly. What the hell's going on? Or a spider? Oh, okay. Whatever. My property. Cena, they're not going to have Cena lose in Boston for his last match, right?
Right.
He's going to win. Then you're going to hear, burn it down. Here comes Seth.
Rollins comes out and cashes in.
Boom, gone. You got the new heel. Ruining John Cena's life. Or maybe he's a good guy. I don't know.
Well, if he ruins Cena's run at the end, is he a heel necessarily?
Cash in the money to bank at the big Cena farewell party.
You know, that's another thing. You talk about, you mentioned in relation to Cena dropping, you know, his pipe bomb 2.0 on Punk on Friday night and how the crowd reacted to it. They got to watch how the crowd reacts to this Rollins Heyman stable because people still sing Seth's song. They boom when he talks, but people love Heyman. People love Bron Breakker. And, you know, Bronson Reed happens to be there as well. And that's one that, like, if you really want them to be a heel stable, you gotta toe that careful line, just like they had to do with the NWO. Again, I reference the NWO and WCW the late 90s a lot because It's what we came up watching. But it's also very instructive on how to handle things and not handle things. The NWO as a faction became more popular than the rest of WCW because those were your biggest names. Those were the best guys on the mic. Those were the guys that made things fun. If that Rollins stable with Heyman and Breaker and Reed and whatever else they may or may not add to it down the line becomes too popular, you run the risk of, you know, confusing some of those reactions when and if something like that happens. Rollins runs out in December in Boston and cashes in the Money in the Bank to take the title before Cena leaves. You think, are people going to cheer for Rollins there? Are they going to cheer for Cena? In Boston, they'll boo Rollins because it's Cena's town. But everywhere else in the world, they might cheer because they've seen Cena try to ruin wrestling for the last year.
You put way too much thought into this. Of 6 months down the road here.
What, you're the one that just made the prediction.
Well, because you put me on the freaking promo thing looking like combination of like
Nostradamus.
Oh, Nostradamus. I look like goddamn pizza Domus. I mean, where'd you get that picture from?
It's AI generated. It's the beautiful of art.
Oh, I was wondering. I was looking like it.
I took your Twitter headshot and I said, make this look like Nostradamus. And bang, AI did it for me.
You a chat GPT person?
If I'm using AI, it's the old Grok.
I don't even know what chat GPT is. I just
good for you.
Talk about it.
You, but hey, you got a camera, a ring light, and a microphone all hooked up.
Yes, all we need right now is the return of the great relaxed Styles, but
yeah.
I think we offended him.
You think?
I don't know.
I don't know. We haven't heard from him. I don't know what we did. Hopefully he's all right. That's going to do it for the June 23rd episode. Episode number 69, Kaboom.
Go ahead, Jason Capizzi.
There you go.
You remember him?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Billy Bob.
I give it a tan. A fucking tan.
Billy Bob episode.
Episode number 69 of Kabali and Mac. Thanks again to our presenting sponsors, the Dan Heck Team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com, the key to your next door. You're looking to buy or sell a home in a Pittsburgh area. They're the ones to take carry-ins. We'll do it again on Thursday with a special guest. You want to drop any hints at all about who the special guest on Thursday is?
It's a local guy.
Well, that narrows it down.
Well, local as in Pittsburgh, okay. Not...
Again,
but maybe plays for a Pittsburgh team, but he's a local guy.
Oh.
We love talking to him.
Donnie Kelly.
Donnie Kelly, why don't you talk to him out and sit him on the bench? Tell him go down and play for that Wild Things. I like them better anyways.
Special guest on Thursday. We'll do it again then. Stay cool this week, and we'll talk to you again soon. Don't forget to subscribe on YouTube for a chance at that autographed Paul Skeens baseball. See ya. Bye.